In Randolph County and for miles around, everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ram Sparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHBO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHCO. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country, 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. 928. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. Hope you're having a good morning. Going to be talking today with Congressman Mike Bost. Congressman, how are you doing this morning?
Great, Jeff. Good to be with you. I know we missed last month, and it's good to be back with you. And a lot of things have happened here in D.C., and we've got one more day. We're here today working on legislation, and then tomorrow we'll take an early vote, and then they send us back to the districts for a couple of weeks. Of course, I'll be bouncing all over the place for some VA stuff, going over to different VAs around the nation, as well as making sure to be in contact with my local governments around. I'll be traveling around and doing that. And then also celebrating the 4th of July, or my son's birthday, whichever way you want to call it.
That's a good day to have a birthday. You never forget it, right?
You don't forget it, and not only that, you can convince them until they're almost 5 years old that it's really all about them.
Fireworks and everything, yeah. But I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and jump right into this. We've got several things we can talk about today. A lot of stuff, as you said, going on.
You bet.
We will take a break, and we'll come right back. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And again, this is The People Speak. Again, we're talking with Congressman Mike Bost. And Congressman, like I said, we've got several things. I'll just let you pick which one you want to start with.
Well, you know, a few weeks ago, we actually debated what was T&I surface transportation bill. Now, we have to do that surface transportation bill every couple of years. It's required. Now, this is different than the proposal that's out there, excuse me, that they're trying to work on, that is the infrastructure bill, but this is infrastructure. But just so you know, when we debated it was a 20, what we do is we have what's known as a markup. That's when amendments are offered and either rise or fall based on that, and then that's the bill that is assembled together to be taken to the floor, to then be debated on the floor, and there are some floor amendments that can go on. But when you have a markup, it does normally take a little bit of time. Of course, not all of them take this much time. We were in the markup 20 hours steady with like 189 amendments, you know. And then, you know, we're out voting on the bill on the floor this week. But here's the problem. It was absolutely, I think only one amendment from the Republicans was accepted specifically, you know, so here's the problem that's out there with it, and that's why I'm not supporting it the way it is. Because one, it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. The Senate's going to send us a bill over that we can actually work on that will have bipartisan bicameral agreement. But this spends one out of every $2 on the Green New Deal, not infrastructure, not roads and bridges, but the Green New Deal, the type of stuff that they are pushing out there. It punishes truck drivers and truck companies, even though I had an amendment to strike this language. What it does is it increases their insurance coverage, their liability insurance coverage, by 167%. Right now, a trucking company has to, for their every unit, they have to have $250,000 of insurance to cover liability, which, just so you know, everybody, in as far as any accident in the United States involving a tractor, trailer, truck, or a commercial truck, less than 0.06%. I'll say it again. Less than 0.06% of those accidents are completely covered. So there's no reason to increase it. Now, think about this, though. Not only are they not increasing it by just a little bit, it was going from $250,000 per unit to $2 million per unit coverage. That it just makes no sense when we're going to have a shortage of trucks, we have a shortage of drivers, to all of a sudden throw another cost on them as high as this. They couldn't defend it. The only reason they tried to defend it is they said it hadn't been raised in about 15 years. Well, if it's working, why would you raise it? So that's part of that bill. Of course, this bill also allows jurisdictions that have been defunding the police to still receive funding for traffic enforcement, which is part of what this bill always does is it actually funds our state and local police. This is where the federal dollar comes in for traffic enforcement along our federal highways, our U.S. highways and our interstates. But what we did was we tried to put a piece of language in there that said if you're a community that chose to defund the police, then you're not going to receive that money, because basically that would be taking the federal tax dollars and offsetting and trying to make up where you cut funding for your police departments at the local and state level. So this doesn't do that. It actually just goes ahead and hands them the money, so that those places that have defunded their police and not making their own personal or their own local investment, they can all of a sudden backload it with this. And it also, this was the big one, okay? I'm going to ask you this, Jeff, and then you can answer, and I'm pretty sure all of my constituents are listening out there. Would you consider artwork transportation or infrastructure?
Artwork.
Artwork.
Not really.
Okay, this bill treats artwork as infrastructure and allows infrastructure dollars to be spent on art instead of roads and bridges and waterways. And when we called them out on it, they said, well, there's times that art really is part of what you're doing. No, it's not. No, it's not. Infrastructure, especially with this bill, is roads, bridges, waterways, those type things. So this is so vitally important, and I think I told your listeners that the weird things that they're trying to put in infrastructure bills anymore. But let me explain that infrastructure is roads, bridges. On our waterways, it's locks, dams, levees, inland ports, and seaports. On our airports, runways, hangars, terminals, those are all things that are to do with transportation. Rail bridges, rail spurs, that's infrastructure. Water and sewer lines for our communities, that's infrastructure. Lines that help deliver the internet to areas where it's not being received right now, that's infrastructure. But that's it. You can't all of a sudden grab something like art and say, well, no, that's infrastructure too. No, it's not. And quit wasting the American taxpayer dollars. If you want to have a project in your local community where you invest in art, then you do what most of our communities do, and that is take and you get a fund together and you raise the local dollars and encourage people to invest in it, or you get donations. That's the way that works. You don't take the people's tax dollar and all of a sudden decide that that's infrastructure. So that bill is going to be called, as I said, this week. And I will be voting no. It will probably get just Democrat votes, no Republican votes, and it will most definitely not go anywhere in the Senate because it hasn't been handled in a bipartisan manner. So, at any rate, that's the arguments we're having on that.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. As you mentioned, I like arts and stuff, but, there's no way it can be classified in with, surface transportation.
And this is the craziness of this place. I mean, it really is. So I do want to switch over to another subject if we can, because I believe this is vitally important to not only our farmers, but also other small businesses and larger businesses alike. It has been the United States policy to always have certain regulations on what is known as WOTUS, or the Waters of the United States, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the Waters of the United States, prior to the Obama administration, it was it was basically waters that were draining and would drain into other water resources that finally get to the ocean, okay? It could be a creek. It could be, usually it had to be what they called navigable, but navigable is you could turn a canoe around in it. Anything that could basically get into a stream, then to the rivers, and the rivers down to the ocean. So that was where the EPA had control over. Well, Obama made some very big, his administration made some very big changes, which the Trump administration said, no, that goes too far. Basically, what WOTUS was doing under the Obama administration, they could come onto your property, your private property, your farm, your small business, everything like that, and if they felt that maybe your pond that you were raising livestock around, they didn't want your livestock that close to the pond, even though it didn't drain off into any other waters, now they can regulate that. Or if rain fell on your farm and there would be runoff from that farm that even though you're having a creek nowhere near, then they want to regulate that. Or if you have a water that's running off your roof and it is they don't like your shingles, then by golly, they should be able to regulate that. Or maybe if it is that your ball cap had a chemical in it or something like that that they thought wasn't good, and the rain hit your ball cap and it ran down. That's how much control they want. And Biden administration, Lee Reed, announced that he's returning to that idea and description of what WOTUS is. You know, this would allow the federal government to regulate almost every creek, every ditch, every if you have where you cut a road down your farm road and the ditch right there on your, then they're going to want to come in and regulate that. They're going to want to regulate your farm ponds. All of this. There was 126 of my colleagues and I that wrote the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers last week urging them to rethink this decision on having that much control and regulations. These regulations devastate the farmers, local governments, businesses, and this is just overreach of the federal government, you know, and we should not revert back to that policies again that were around during the Obama administration, but they're heading right down that path.
Yeah, that's and you know, you think about, you know, the aspect of that. I mean, these regulations and stuff, that's going to mean more costs to farmers and landowners and such.
Exactly. And like I said, it's going to allow the federal government to actually walk onto your personal property to try to tell you what you're going to do in your farm management and the operation of your local business and the operation of your home. And, you know, this is Big Brother to the max. And it is just never, you know, the freedoms we have in this nation, and I don't just mean you want to allow people to ruin the environment, but this is way, way over on overreach, and you know, this is the idea of this particular administration to revert back to the Obama administration of if we just grow government big enough, we'll have the, hey, we'll tuck you in bed committee that'll come by your house, and we'll make sure everything you're doing right when you go to sleep at night, and then we'll be there with another committee when you wake up in the morning, and we don't need a government that big.
No, definitely not. I'll tell you what, we got another break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in here real quick, get that out of the way, and we'll come back and talk some more. We're talking today with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Got some time left this morning on the program talking with Congressman Mike Bost, and we've talked about several things. We're just talking about the waters of the United States. Congressman, one of the other things that's big in the news here is the crisis at the southern border. Of course, the Vice President has said there they're working to straighten up the crisis they inherited. I think it's kind of the other way around, but we'll let you talk about that.
We had our border under control. We were building the wall. We were making tough decisions to still allow our borders to, for people that want to come to the U.S. legally, to come legally. We were keeping it under control. We were supporting our law enforcement along that border until that border was being put in place. And we were broadcasting a very, very, very clear message to other nations that if you want to come, we're welcoming you to come to this United States legally. That's the key word. But the vice president, who was named the czar, the border czar, never visited the southern border until 93 days after, and actually got herself in a whole lot of trouble even talking about the fact whenever even more liberal press began to ask her, why are you not going down? And then they go down to El Paso, which is not where the real problem is existing. You know, she didn't even go to the border during this trip to see the actual situation. She went to El Paso, but she never went to the border. That's so bizarre in the fact that you say you're going to the border and you go to the town where the border is, but you don't go down and talk with the border. You do a press conference. She did that. And she badmouthed the former administration. But just so you know, the former administration's gone. And I have to agree with you, Jeff, in the fact that it wasn't anything that they did. They were actually getting things straightened up. But it was the failed policies that have already been proven out how they failed whenever Biden walked in and removed and stopped the process by which we were controlling the border. But she claims the Biden administration has made progress addressing these crises over the last 5 months. Well, that's not true, because in May, what we saw was the actual number was 180,034 border crossings, which is the highest number on record in 21 years of keeping those records. If this is progress, it's in the wrong direction. And, you know, the crisis is a result of Biden coming in and saying everything that Trump did was wrong, and then rolling things back, even the things that were working very, very positively. You know, we've got to quit playing the partisan stuff here and understand the dangers that exist. And when I say the dangers that exist, we also know that we've caught several terrorists, known terrorists or on a terrorist watch list, coming across that southern border. That's just the ones we've caught. There's others we'd probably have missed. This is endangering the lives of our children, our grandchildren, our and every other resident that lives in this United States. I'm going to tell you that people of the Hispanic communities in the South that are here legally are very upset about this as well, because it is the gangs that are coming across. The problem with the concern and the problems that exist with human trafficking are just unbelievable. And the only way we can truly stop this is to have a controlled border with controlled entrances, like every other nation in this world has, that they put in place so that you can make do the decisions you have to run a country. That doesn't mean we want to discourage people from coming to this United States. We want to be a safe haven for every person that's wanting to follow law, live free, and enjoy the path to their citizenship here in this United States. That being said, what we're seeing at our southern border is not that at all. And it is endangering every community, even though we're far away from the border. Many of these are being brought across, and they are actually transporting them and moving them into other areas to get them away from the border, and it is really having a negative effect on our economy. It's having a negative effect on our safety and on overwhelming law enforcement.
You know, I've always said, as far as that, if you or I, whatever, we're trying to go into another country like Canada, you know, for instance, a bunch of Americans started crossing the border into Canada. You know, there's regulations set in place up in Canada. They're not, you know, we can't just go up there and take advantage of all their, you know, financial aid and everything.
Right. And that's just it. This is the ideas of this administration and the Democrat Party right now is to just, I don't know why they want to cause chaos in our country to that level, but it's very frustrating when you start playing politics on this type of stuff instead of having a nation that is free, where the economy is growing, where you're safe, that our police are doing their, able to do their job. It's just the wrong, they're wrong on so many fronts. You know, another issue that's out there, and I know we're kind of limited on time, but that yesterday, and if you get a chance to see it on the internet or whatever, there was a hearing yesterday, which I was not able to attend, but I'm getting all the notes on. We brought scientists in, some of the best known scientists on virus and these labs around the world and everything like that, that came in and have given testimony on about how COVID came from Wuhan, and that it is, and that evidence is pointing that it came from the lab. It did not come from an infected bat that just flew out of a cave. It may have came through an infected bat, but it are other ways. But they're more believing now that it was a and these scientists were giving testimony to this, and they're not only scientists, they're also investigators that are doing the investigation. And we had this hearing yesterday, and the amount of wealth of information of why China was doing what China was doing, we're still trying to figure out how this lab worked, who funded this lab, and I don't think you'll hear the end of this for quite some time. And understand this. This is not an issue that's only affected the United States. This was a worldwide pandemic where people lost their lives all over the world, and we need to find out what failed, how it failed. And we're pretty sure from what we can tell, and what they did was they described how the virus is and what the virus does, that it is a lab-manufactured virus. And they showed all the scientific reason for that. I would encourage the listeners to go online, look that up on the hearing yesterday, study on what was actually said, because it's important that for not only for us in the United States, but for the world, we make sure that something like this never happens again from any country, whether they're doing it accidental or on purpose.
All right. I agree with that, Congressman. We're out of time, though, but I do appreciate you taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you. And I want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July. Be safe and enjoy time with your family.
All right. You as well.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again next time. Have a great day.